Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Oh, thank you. 1 Timothy chapter 1 in your Bible, please, verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. If you love Jesus, say amen. Amen. Now, I want to hear you shout, what's the best bus route? I can't hear you. What's the best bus route? 50-5 is the best bus. All the other buses want to be like us. Hey, 50-5. All right, I got that out of my system. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. Man, I love Hollis Anderson College. Thank you, Brother Mitchell, for the invitation. I take it as an honor and a privilege to be able to come here and share God's word with such a fine group of young men and young ladies. Some of you aren't so young anymore, but nonetheless, you know, I consider you, if you're in college, you're still young, okay? So what is age? What is age, right? I mean, I'm about to be, none of your business how old I'm going to be, but I've been here for about 13 years, and I love Hollis Anderson College, and every aspect of this ministry has been a blessing to my life, but more above and beyond, you know, is what took place here in this chapel, within this building. And the platform is a little bit different. The heating system is a little bit different than what it was back when I was here. But praise the Lord that the Spirit is still the same. Amen. You know, we're still here to hear preaching. You know, we're here. It's preaching time, okay? It's preaching time. So if you're not ready for preaching, slap yourself and wake up and let's get ready, okay? But I love College Chapel because it was a time when I was provoked and I was exhorted and admonished at times and rebuked to do more for the Lord. And I'm so glad that I was able to be a part of this college and now in this capacity to come here and preach to you all. It's a blessing and a privilege. And I know that many of you are here. Some of you got off early this morning from work. You rushed over to your dorm room. You're operating on about 2 or 3 hours of sleep, if you even slept, with all the homework you have to do. So I appreciate you all very much for being here. And I just want to help us today. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. We'll read this one verse together. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. Let's go ahead and read that out loud together. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. Let's begin. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I'm gonna go to another verse in just a few moments, but I wanna bring a message today in light of our spring program entitled Foolproof Ministry. Foolproof Ministry. I shared this with our guys in Division 15 a few weeks ago. So for those of you that are on Night Bus that night, I apologize that you're going to hear it again. But most of you are falling asleep on Night Bus, so it'll serve you well to hear it another time, okay? Regardless, thank you for being on Night Bus, though. Thank you for being on Night Bus. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to be congregated here in this auditorium. Lord, thank you for this service thus far. Thank you for the congregational singing. Thank you for the special that we just heard, Lord, and how everything is possible, Lord, if we just believe that you will provide and you will come through at the appointed time. Lord, help us to stop operating on our time and start operating on your time. Lord, I pray that you would bless this chapel message. I pray with everything that's to come over the next couple of days. I pray that you be with the Petropolis family and all those that were touched by the life of Miss Belinda Gayona and of Petropolis. And I know that my wife's life was touched by her, and she was a big influence. And it's just one of many thousands of young ladies that have come through our bus ministry that have been impacted by Miss Belinda Petropoulos, Lord. We thank you so much for her. I pray that you would comfort the family and comfort all those that that knew her, Lord. I pray that you'd be with Miss Hibbert, who was her co-laborer for so many years, Lord. Just be with them in a very special way, Father. We thank you and we love you. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says that I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, why did Paul thank Christ Jesus his Lord and our Lord? Well, he was thanking him because in the last part of that verse, it says that he put me in the ministry. He put me in the ministry. You know, I'm so glad that I get to be a part of the ministry. And you all should be glad that you have a part in the ministry. Understand that what you do on a weekly basis on your bus routes in Chicago or wherever it is that you serve, what you're doing is making a difference in people's lives. We ought to thank God that he counted us faithful. He could have chosen anyone else. He could have chosen anyone else. I'll the first to say that I feel that I'm not deserving to be in this, to be here in this position, serving the Lord in the ministry. But I thank God that he saw something in me and he tapped me on the shoulder and put me into the ministry. I don't regret that day I surrendered. I don't regret coming forward that pastor school in 2011 and saying, Lord, I don't know what you have for me. Whatever full-time Christian service is, I'm willing to do it and I'll give you everything I have. And I'm so glad that the Lord took me and put me into the ministry. You know, the ministry is something that we all need to understand. We don't deserve it. It's a privilege to be a part of. Let's go ahead and go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 5. It says this, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. In these two verses, the common word is ministry. Ministry is important. I don't think it's a coincidence that Paul started his letter to Timothy in chapter 1 mentioning the ministry. And I don't think it's a mistake that he closes the second letter to Timothy mentioning the ministry. The ministry is something that we need to understand is an important thing to be a part of. I already said we ought to rejoice that we're in the ministry, okay? I love what brother, how many of you in D9? Raise your hand, D9. How many, I don't know if Brother Ricky has said this to you all, but he always makes this statement. He makes a statement. He says, it's ministry, not misery. You ought to enjoy being in the ministry. The ministry is something good to be a part of. But Paul also says that the ministry is going to have some challenges. I'm sure that this year that there has been some bumps along the road that would try to keep you from fulfilling the ministry that God has called you to do. Ministry means it's your office. It's your avenue. It's the avenue in which you serve. We all have a ministry to be a part of. If you weren't here in Hiles Anderson and you're back at your home church and you're saved and you're a layman, you still have a ministry to be a part of. You still have the ministry of reconciliation. You still have the responsibility to go out into your community and share the gospel with the lost and dying world. You have a ministry, whether you're in Hiles Anderson or out of Hiles Anderson. Every single one of us have a ministry as a born-again believer. But here, where we're at, we have a very specific ministry, and it's the bus ministry. I'm so glad that we have a bus ministry. I'm glad that we get to go out to Chicago and invite people to come to church on a bus. The bus ministry is probably one of the greatest ministries that we can be a part of in the local church. I'm not saying it's the only ministry. There's several ministries to take part in, but there's no other ministry that gets out there and is in the trenches and reaching people like those involved in the bus ministry. We all have a ministry to be a part of. God wants us to make full proof, like it says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, of our ministry. The word full proof means to carry out fully, to cause a thing to be shown to the full, fulfill the ministry in every part and in every aspect. God doesn't just put us in the ministry and calls us to the ministry. He wants us to fulfill our ministry. He wants us to do something big. He wants us to get on board with him and to get out there and to reach people. God wants you in the ministry, but God also wants you to fulfill the ministry. You know, here at Hollis Anderson, in just a few short weeks, over at the church, we're going to have all the seniors walk across the stage and receive a diploma. And for those of you that are going to take part in that graduation, congratulations. That's a big accomplishment. Not many people start and finish that goal. For those of you that are going to graduate, you remember how many came your freshman year and how many are going to finish with you this year. It's something that doesn't happen, that not a lot of people follow all the way through. But graduating from Hollis Anderson is a big deal. And I'm not trying to minimize you getting a diploma and walking across that stage and shaking pastor's hand and taking a picture with him. But if all you do at Hollis Anderson is walk across the stage and receive a diploma, you missed on what Hollis Anderson was trying to teach you. Hollis Anderson is not here just to give you a diploma, though that's something important, okay? You have to finish. Freshmen, finish. But that's not the end-all, be-all of Hollis Anderson. The purpose of Hollis Anderson is to teach you and equip you to reach more people in whatever ministry God has for you in your future. The purpose of Hollis Anderson is to give you a heart to reach people. If you walk across that stage, you get the diploma, and you don't develop a heart for the ministry, then you've missed it. You've missed it here at Hollis Anderson. You know, a lot of you, you're majoring in the minor and minoring in the major. The major is reaching people. It's getting people saved. It's using what you learn here Monday through Friday, on Saturday and Sunday. God wants you to fulfill your ministry. The fulfilling your ministry is not necessarily a number, okay? It's not a number. Fulfilling your ministry is just reaching as many people as possible, okay? Reaching as many people as possible filled with God's Spirit. The ministry is not a number. You know, if it was a number, what is the number? You know, would a pastor in an urban area be more successful than a pastor in a rural area? This pastor is more successful because he has 1,000 in a large city versus this pastor that's running 100 in a small rural town in somewhere in the United States and in West Virginia or in Iowa or Nebraska. You know, fulfilling your ministry is not a number. Fulfilling your ministry is just reaching people, as many as you can. And we're in the middle of a program and we're trying to reach as many as we can. What your goal is good. It's important. Have a goal. But the end all be all is not just that number. It's reaching people along the way. God calls us into the ministry. God wants us to fulfill our ministry. But why is it? Why is it that some fulfill their ministry and some don't? Why is it that some bus captains can fill a bus while others can't? It's not necessarily a city, okay? It's not necessarily your area. There could be two captains within the same neighborhood. One is bringing more than the other. Why? What's the difference? In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12, it says this: I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. Enabled means to make strong, to endue with strength. The enabling comes not from us, but from God. The reason why one captain brings more than the other is not necessarily area. It's not necessarily talent. It's not necessarily ability. It's that one is making use of the tools that God provides him to fulfill his ministry. One is over here making excuse after excuse on why he can't reach people. The other one is just getting busy using the tools that God has given him to reach his area. You know, I've heard if there's one thing, there's not a shortage in the bus ministry, Brother Collins, it's a shortage of excuses. There's excuses all over the place. Oh, I can't reach my bus route because I don't know Spanish. And then I can't reach my bus route because I don't know English. I've heard both of those excuses. Which one's more valid? All it is an excuse. Oh, I can't, my area's too hard. First Baptist Church is too far. Nobody wants to come. You know, oh, I've knocked doors and everybody's gone to First Baptist. You know, there's always an excuse why you can't fulfill your ministry. But God wants you to put your excuses to the side and just focus on fulfilling your ministry through what he's given you to fulfill it. See, God has given us every single tool to fulfill our ministry. But yet, some individuals are coming short on that goal. Some make excuses. The others just get to work. You know, several years ago, I was coming back from a day at work, and I was really hungry. So I stopped at this little place. I don't know if you ever heard of it. It's called El Amigo. El Amigo, right? Yeah. So I was hungry, and I had a little bit of extra money. So I stopped there, and I bought myself a nice plate of El Amigo fries. Okay, if you don't know what that is, it's French fries with steak, sour cream, guacamole, and to top it off, a little bit of pico de gallo. Okay, so I was hungry that day, and I took my box of French fries and steak with guacamole, and I sat down in my dorm room, and I poured the pico de gallo on it, just like that. Look at that, the jalapenos, the tomatoes, the onions. I sat down, and man, I was ready. I was ready to consume. And I said, Lord, please bless this in Jesus' name, amen. And I got ready to eat, and I'm looking through the bag, and there's one thing missing, a fork. I didn't have a fork. So I have this beautiful box of crispy, golden brown French fries smothered in cheese, guacamole, sour cream, onions. Oh, it's in there. But I had this delicious, delicious platter ready to be consumed. I hope it doesn't fall. Ready to be consumed. But I didn't have a fork. And I got mad. I said, man, how is it that they can give me this delicious box of El Amigo fries and not give me the one tool to fully enjoy it? You know what I did? You know what I did? You want to know what I did? I ate it anyway, because I'm a man. And I got in there, and I reached in, and I started eating. I ate it up. It was so, so good. By the end of it, my knuckles were covered in guacamole, sour cream, pico de gallo, nacho cheese. But you know what? If they would have just given me a fork, probably would have enjoyed it a little bit better. You know what? I use that illustration to try to convey this. Is that God has given you the gift of the ministry, but he didn't leave you without the proper tools to fulfill it and enjoy it. Today, I want to give you a list of tools that God has given you to fulfill your ministry. Number one, in order to fulfill your ministry, God has given you the tool of God. God has given you God to fulfill your ministry. You know, I'm so glad that I don't have to go out to Gage Park in Chicago Lawn on my own. I get to go out with God being with me, and I can go with God and I can reach the people in my area. You know, in the book of Numbers, chapter 11, there's an interesting dialogue between Moses and God. You know, the people were complaining. They were complaining on everything they didn't have. You know, God has been providing for them in the wilderness. He has given them manna. He has given them everything they needed to live and be sustained in the ministry, in the wilderness. But the people started complaining. They said, all we have to eat is this manna, this little bread. And they despised God's provision. Moses and God start to have a conversation, and God says, okay, if they want flesh, I'm going to give them flesh. But I'm not just going to give them a little bit. I'm going to make sure that they get so full that they're going to consume the flesh that I provide for them, and it's going to start to come out of their nostrils. Okay? Moses looked to God and he said, God, what do you mean? How are you going to give that? How are you going to provide that much for these people? God, there's over 600,000 footmen here. And that's not including the women and the children. How are you? What are we going to do? Start killing the flock and giving them from that? That's not enough, God. And God's response to Moses was, is my hand waxed short? Can I not provide, Moses? Don't you believe in me that I can do something as simple as provide flesh for this people to eat? You know, and we're here and we're trying to reach people. We're trying to do something more, something important for the Lord, and we doubt that God can do it. The reaching our bus route doesn't depend on me. It depends on God being involved. If you go out to your bus route without God, you're not going to fulfill your ministry. But week after week, you're going out in your flesh and you're not going out with God, and you're not able to reach those people because you're missing a tool. You're missing God. If God can speak this world into creation, he can reach the people on your bus route. You go to your route week after week after week. You go, and this gate is locked, and that door is locked, and this person won't answer, and that person won't answer. Can I encourage you? Can you get, who left a little duck here? Can I encourage you? Can I encourage you? Get God involved on your bus route. Get God involved on your bus route. You don't have to go it alone. You have God, and nothing is too hard for him. Next thing is that you have Jesus. In order to fulfill your ministry, God has given you God, but God has also given you Jesus. And through Jesus, you have salvation. Through Jesus, you have the victory. You have the victory. So many of you are walking around defeated. You're walking around with your head down. You're not living in the victory that Jesus Christ has given you. You're walking around your bus route and you're looking at your own two feet, thinking about all your woes, all your sorrows, and you don't realize that God has given you Jesus and his salvation to fulfill your ministry. You're on the winning side. You came to Hiles Anderson your freshman year, and you're cheering. You're woohoo! And now your hands are down. Your head is hanging, and you're living defeated. You're living defeated. You're living defeated because you've allowed yourself to indulge in sin a little bit too much. You've allowed something to creep in. And they've taken that victorious spirit away from you. And now, instead of living a victorious Christian life, you're just walking around like a defeated individual. God wants you to fulfill your ministry. God has given you God. God has given you Jesus, salvation, Redeemer, the Lamb of God. Not only did God give you Jesus and he gave you himself, but God gave you the Holy Ghost. God gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you the one who is the power, who's the guide, who's the comforter, who's the sealer, who's the teacher, who's the one that convicts the heart of the sinner. He has given you the Holy Ghost to fulfill your ministry. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8 says what? And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost. You know, we read in the Old Testament of all the big things that were done for God, all the victories, all the accomplishments, and they did that without the Holy Spirit indwelling them. And here we are with the Holy Spirit in us, not able to have the power of God upon our life. We need to go out filled with the Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit shows up on your bus route, a big day is going to happen. I don't care if you have one or 100. If the Holy Spirit shows up, that's a big day. You ought to rejoice. You got to get him involved because big things happen when you get the Spirit of Truth involved. God has given you the Holy Spirit. He's given you Jesus and salvation. He's given you himself. But not only that, he's given you the Word of God. He's given you the Word of God. He has given you the double-edged sword. He has given you the one offensive weapon that we have in our arsenal. You know, what your bus route needs is less of your opinion and more of God's word. You don't want to know what you need when you're out soul winning. You need to have some Bible in your heart. You need to have some doctrine in your heart. You need to have some truth in your heart. If you don't have Bible in your heart, how are you going to convince a lost individual to accept Jesus Christ? You need the word of God. It's that double-edged sword on your bus Sunday morning. What you need to do is preach the Bible, boys. Just preach it. Just open it up and start preaching. Don't give me a theological sermon. Don't give me a 3-point dissertation. Just open up the word and start preaching it. What do I preach, Brother David? Preach salvation. Preach surrender. Preach separation. That's what your people need to hear. Not some theological sermon that makes them feel good. They need to hear Bible truth. We have the Bible to fulfill our ministry. But so often, what we do with this book is we leave it closed. And we just leave it on the shelf. And we don't read it. We only open it up in chapel. We open it up in church. And we're supposed to be in this word. And we're supposed to be able to feed others. And we're not even feeding ourselves. To fulfill your ministry. To accomplish what God has called you to do, you need to have the Bible in your life. You need to have a daily devotional. You know, it's sad how we treat the Bible in the United States. We have it in such abundance, but we despise it. You have 3 Bibles in your room collecting dust, while some individuals in this world don't have 1 copy of God's word. What we have in abundance in America, we reject. And if that's the case for us as ministers of God, what about our people? We need to be filled with the word of God. God has given you the Bible to fulfill your ministry. Next thing is God has given you prayer. God has given you prayer. You know, years ago, there was a young man that came up to me and he said, Brother David, how is it that I can reach my bus route? And to my shame, I started to give him methods and plans. And he said, oh, okay, thank you. And Brother Snipes, I hear you, you're in the back. Brother Snipes, he left. And as soon as he left, I felt like this big. Because methods don't build your bus route. Methods do not build your bus route. Promotions don't build your bus route. Okay, I'm glad that this week, some of us, we're going to go to the zoo. Some of you may be going to Chuck E. Cheese. You have a promotion, but promotions don't build your bus route. Methods don't build your bus route. Prayer builds your bus route. And so many of us, we are not going into that prayer closet and getting a hold of God so that we can go and reach the people on our bus route. You know, I love what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, prayer is that slender nerve that moveth the arms of omnipotence. You know, prayer is the vehicle that gets God to flex his muscles. The reason why you're not seeing things happen on your bus route, captains, is probably because you're not praying. You're not spending time in that prayer closet. You're getting back from work and you're rushing to your bed to go to sleep instead of at least taking 5 minutes to just pray for your bus route. To pray for your bus kids. Methods don't build your bus route. Promotions do not build your bus route. Prayer builds your bus route. You don't believe me? Just try it. Try it. I dare you. Just get every single night. Just pray. Pray and pray for God to help you reach those people in your area. You don't believe me? Try it. And then after a couple weeks, come and let me know. If it doesn't work, if you can look at me in the eye and say, Brother David, I prayed every single night for God to use me 7 days for the past 4 weeks and it didn't work, then I'll apologize publicly. Okay? But you don't believe me? Just try it. God has given you the tools to fulfill your ministry. He's given you prayer. He's given you the Bible. He's given you the Holy Ghost. He's given you Jesus. He's given you himself. He's given you also the gospel. He's given you the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. It's what changes life. It's what takes a drunk from being a drunk to being a soul winner. You know, I love the testimony of George Mueller. George Mueller was used of God to do big things. George Mueller, he opened over 10,000 orphanages. He established more than 117 Christian schools, 120,000 students that were within those schools. He preached in over 42 countries. But Charles Spurgeon, or George Mueller, said that in 1825, it was the first time he heard somebody truly preach the gospel. And after that moment, being in a house church, participating in a house church service, he went back home and he got saved. And from that moment on, he lived a life dedicated to the Lord. And he saw big things happen. You want to see big things happen on your routes? You want to fulfill your ministry? Use the gospel. Use the gospel. You ought to be witnessing. You ought to be soul winning every single weekend. You should try to go out and get at least one, and don't come back until you at least get one. Don't come back. Some of you are so content and complacent and comfortable with not winning people to Christ on a weekly basis. I don't know if it's just me, but if I don't win someone to the Lord, it bothers me. It hurts me because I feel like I'm not truly being used of God and I'm not fulfilling the ministry that God has called me to do. God has given us the gospel to fulfill our ministry. I'll hasten. God has also given us a church. God has given us a church. It's the pillar and ground of truth. It's the place where we are edified and perfected for the work of the ministry. You know, I'm so glad for our church. I love our church. And I believe that if I can get one person to come to church and sit in the audience and be under the preaching of God's word, that they have that God has an opportunity to change your life at church. At church. We're in the bus ministry, and in the bus ministry, we're supposed to get people in a bus and take them to church. But week after week, routes go not fulfilling their ministry, because they're not using the tool that God has given us. God has given us the church. God has given us the gospel. He's given us prayer. He's given us the Bible. He's given us the Holy Ghost. He's given us Jesus. He's given us himself. He's also given us bus routes and buses. You know, I thank God for the buses that we have. I thank God for Brother Jerry Oswardi. If he's not here, you please tell him that I say thank you. He works tirelessly to make sure that those buses are in tip-top shape so we can take out to Chicago and bring people to him in Indiana. Understand that we have the privilege to run buses. And some states in this country, they don't have that privilege. There's some states in this country that are so restrictive that it makes it nearly impossible for a local New Testament Bible Fundamental Baptist church to run a bus route in their areas. But we don't have that issue. We don't have that problem. Every single week, we take bus after bus after bus to the city of Chicago. And God has given you that bus captains, to fulfill your ministry. Your job as a bus captain is to make sure that every single seat in that bus is filled. I refuse to believe that the heydays of the bus ministry are behind us. I refuse to believe that the bus ministry big days are behind us. I believe that the best is in front of us if we would just get busy and we use the tools that God has given us. God has given us a bus. He's given us a church. He's given us the gospel. He's given us prayer. He's given us a Bible. He's given us the Holy Ghost. He's given us Jesus. He's given us himself. Next thing is he's given you an area. He's given you a bus route. You know, in Division 15, we have nearly 150,000 people that live within our borders. And God has given us that area to go and fulfill our ministry. All hasten. God has given us the area to reach. God is also, bus captains, giving you workers. Captains, are you making use of your workers? Are you putting them in a position to be successful? Are you planning? Are you encouraging them? Are you praying for them? God is giving you workers, bus captains. You know, you can't reach your area by yourself. I wish I could, but I can't. I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. God has given you workers to reach your area. God has given you workers, he's giving you an area, he's giving you buses, church, the gospel, prayer, the Bible, the Holy Ghost. God has given you Jesus, the victory that comes with him. God has given you himself. God has given you time. God has given you time. God has given you 168 hours every single week to plan to fulfill your ministry. Every single one of us have time, but not all of us use it the proper way. God has given you time. What have you done with your time this week? What have you used the time that God has given you? You're not promised forever. James says that what is your life? It is but a vapor. But so many of us, we don't do what the psalmist says. We don't say, Lord, teach me to count my days. What the psalmist is saying, Lord, help me to make every single day count. We're just wasting time. You think time is the most precious thing that we have, but it's the thing that we spend so flippantly. You know, you spend more time on your phone than you do in your prayer closet. You spend more time on your phone than reading your Bible. You spend more time talking to your girlfriend other than talking to God. Man, use your time wisely. Last and not least, in order to fulfill your ministry, the tool that God has given you is you. You. You're the one. You're the one that God has chosen to be in the ministry. You are the one that God has chosen to be on those streets at this time for this moment. It wasn't your brothers. It wasn't your sister that was here. It wasn't your parents. It's no one from the past. It's you. It's you. But that's usually the biggest problem that keeps us from fulfilling our ministry. It's us. It's me and it's you. We have to understand that we got to stop with the excuses and we just have to start using the tools that God has given us. Every single one of you have these 12 things available to use to fulfill your ministry. But just a few actually use them. It's no wonder why buses are only bringing about 10 people on a route. What's your excuse? Why are you not fulfilling your ministry? It's not God. It's not that he hasn't provided you and given you what you needed. It's just that you're not using the tools. God wants you to fulfill your ministry. We have to understand that we just need to get out there and get the job done. Our heads are down, eyes are closed, and I've gone a little bit over, and I apologize. I try to finish on time. But I wonder, how many of you today would say, Brother David, I don't want to make any more excuses. I want to fulfill my ministry. You have the ability, you have the tools available to fulfill it. But are you using them? Are you spending time in prayer? Are you spending time in the Bible? Are you getting hold of God to show up? We have to stop thinking that we want to reach our routes more than God does. God wants to reach those people more than we do.